Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to women about their lives, their work, and their influences, those who inspire and encourage us to reflect on our own lives. Sometimes the issues that we touch on can be sensitive or upsetting to some listeners, or indeed to our guests, so we would urge you to get advice if you need support in any way. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential young woman today is Beth Hope. Hello and welcome, Beth. Hi.
Hi, Nikki. It's great to be here. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, thank you for coming. And we're not going to show the video to our customers, but you're in this amazing apartment in Belgium, and we're talking literally across the pond there, aren't we?
I know. Yes, my second home in Belgium. So I'm usually in London, but having a little month working from Belgium.
How lovely. How lovely. Now, Beth is an executive confidence coach that motivates and empowers others. And she has personally overcome PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and we're going to touch on that. But first, Beth, you encourage particularly women and girls, don't you, to become more confident. How do you do that then?
Yes, so I think the key is really tuning in to yourself and finally listening. We spend a lot of our time in life not necessarily listening, especially not to ourselves, and not having that space or time at all to actually enable ourselves to listen. So as a coach, I give my clients that time, that hour, that 2 hours, however long they need, to really take a moment, take a pause, and get them to listen to themselves. What are they truly saying? Let's go deeper into that. Let's rework that and challenge their mindset in order to make the changes that they want and live the life of balance and success that is true to themselves.
Wow, so it really is our inner voice that talks to us, which a lot of the times is negative, isn't it? And it's sort of rewiring that.
Exactly. So some research has shown that we have about 60,000 thoughts a day, and 90% of those are the same as yesterday. So if we are constantly in this negative cycle, and we're never taking the time to actually tune into that voice, to challenge that voice, to change it from destructive to constructive, then we can never make those changes that we want and build ourselves up, and by doing that, be able to build up others.
Wow, I like your mindset in terms of, yes, destructive to constructive, because quite often I've heard that, you know, if you think positively, that it literally physiologically changes the way your mind works. So if you think negatively, that actually you can make yourself worse. Is that right?
Exactly. So it's kind of neuroplasticity. So our brain, I kind of use the analogy with my clients around a river. And, you know, a river, the water will take the path of least resistance down the hill. And the more it does that, the deeper it starts to erode away until it creates that flowing river. And if we never challenge that and we never change that, it's always going to go down that path, because it's about setting up those quick reactions. Because biologically, it's served us very well to make those quick connections for basically ease of processing and using our internal resources as effectively as possible. But we haven't always made the most constructive connections as we go along. So it's really important to actually start challenging that and realizing that negativity and all of these different things can actually be very constructive if we let them be that way, rather than bringing us down and keeping us down.
Interesting. So do you think that our parents and our upbringing has a lot to do with whether we're positive or negative? Or do you think it's just inherent, it's our...
I think it has so many different factors. I think, you know, our environment definitely can be, and the way that you're raised does have a lot of influence on those things. But also, you know, we are the master of our own destiny and the master of our own experiences. So, you know, you can have someone who goes through terrible things or doesn't have a good childhood, but will have that internal natural positivity. But I am a true, true believer that confidence, resilience, all of these things and a positive mindset they're not finite. They're not something you have or you don't have. They're something, you know, it's like muscles. You work them, you build them, you make them stronger. So wherever you naturally are, think of it like physical fitness. Maybe wow. you're not, you know, Usain Bolt to begin with, but you train your mind and you can build up that fitness.
Wow, it's fascinating. So I like your view that authentic confidence and our true self enables happiness in every aspect of our lives, as you mentioned on your website, because we are good at self-sabotage. Some of the things you say on your website are that confidence underpins everything that we do, how we view ourselves, how we love others, how we are in our work, and how we overcome our dreams. So, I mean, it's big stuff, isn't it? It's really mind-altering, and you can do that easily or quickly, or you can take people through that.
Yes, exactly. And I think, you know, confidence is the foundation, and I really stress authentic confidence. And that's what I deal with, because I think confidence as a word is, you know, spread over a multitude of things. And interestingly, when clients come to me or when I speak to people, I often ask, what does confidence mean for you? And it's something that they've never really paused to think about. And it's the same with words like success. And that's really the focus, is it's not about being loud or being able to feel completely fine walking into a room and doing a presentation to 10,000 people. It's, you know, it's not about those little things. It's about being yourself, being at peace with that, being able to let that come out. And that is something that you can work on quite quickly if you are open and you're ready to jump in, be honest, and really want to make those changes and kind of get to the core of things and to rework it.
So it really is, as you say, authentic. It's being honest with yourself, being your true self. And not, because people can tell if you're fake, can't they? And particularly, you know, if they're listening to our podcast, you can tell from someone's voice if they're being insincere.
Exactly. But also, it's so draining if you're having to put on this face. You know, how many people do you know or you've come across where they have their work version and then their true self? You know, it's, oh, I'll put on my work Beth. You know, there is no work Beth or personal Beth. There's just Beth. Because, you know, for many years, dealing with the repression that I didn't really understand, and that's all from the PTSD that we'll go into in a bit, but I'd kind of created this mask of confidence and happiness because I couldn't deal with what was going on inside. But that was the most draining thing ever, because it took so much energy to maintain something, even though I wasn't consciously doing it. So be authentic, and it's the most energizing thing in the world.
Well, yes, because, you know, you've had a number of things that have happened in your life, and you've talked on your website about being dealt with, being made redundant and not knowing where you're going with your life, and heartbreak that various people have had, and PTSD above all of this. So we might as well, I mean, I'll come back to some of the other questions about that. No, actually, I'll come on to PTSD after. So are there coping skills to draw on when people are lacking in confidence or feeling overwhelmed and stressed or challenged in their own head that they can't particularly verbalise to others or their friends or their family, and they just don't actually know why they're feeling like that? Are there sort of tips that you'd give to help people?
Yes, I think the first thing is actually just taking a moment and taking some deep breaths. And it's something, you know, people might think, oh, Jesus, just, you know, some breathing, like that's not going to help me. But deep breathing is something that has a very big foundation in mindfulness. And it's about breathing out and exhaling about twice as long as you inhale. And what that does is it actually activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is that rest, you know, calming down the fight, flight, anxiety, overwhelming. And it's just calming that down and taking that moment. Because if we focus on changing a bit in our body, and our sensations in our body. It can just allow us that little tiny moment we need to let the brain kind of click in and become a little clearer. So I recommend breathing in for about 4 seconds, holding for 2 seconds, and then breathing out for 8, and repeating that about 3 to 10 times. Then after that, there are lots of little things I would say. First of all, do try and reach out to someone, whether it's, you know, your nearest and dearest. I know sometimes in a way that can be hardest, or whether it's a professional, or a colleague or a friend. Do try and reach out, because whether you're going through something massive or whether, you know, it's just kind of the everyday stresses, it's completely valid, and you are allowed to say, do you know what, I need a bit of help, and be honest and say, I just need you to listen and give me a hug or make me a cup of tea. I don't need you to fix anything. I don't need you to validate what I'm feeling. I just need you to say, great, thank you for telling me. And be directive about the support you need, because we're kind of bad at that in general.
Definitely good steers. And, you know, that should help a lot of people, because it sometimes is just being honest, as you say, isn't it? And I know, actually, by the way, the breathing works, because I asked my physio once when I was going on a plane and I'm not great with turbulence. And she just said, do that breathing in for 4 and out for 8. And I did. And everyone else was stressing, and I completely forgot where I was. I was just away in this music zone of breathing, and it was quite enlightening.
Yeah, exactly. It has so many benefits biologically, and there's a ton of research around the benefits of mindfulness in general, but just taking breathing is a really quick, accessible way to come to the present and actually just focus on something that you can control, firstly, which helps especially if, you know, you're in a situation like you were with turbulence. But it's about that control that gives you, and really calming down your internal biological systems.
It's that sort of self-soothe, isn't it? Because, you know, everyone needs to have that, because, as you say, you know, there are big things or small things, but they could be big things to that person that might be small things to someone else. And that is good, you know, for you to say that still should be recognised. It's important.
Exactly. And I think it's important that we recognise it in ourselves. I've met so many people, you know, when I say what I do, I say I'm a coach and all of that, and they go, oh yeah, you know, it'd be really interesting, but, you know, what I'm going through isn't big enough, or, you know, it's just silly things. And I'm like, stop diminishing what you are. You know, we can always find someone who has it worse, has it better, has it this, that, you know, all the others, but let's actually give ourselves a bit of time. You can always improve and grow and challenge yourself and keep improving. So why not?
That is obviously a beginning where people do start loving themselves. I mean, do you do affirmations to become more resilient or to love yourself? Do you encourage that?
It completely depends on the clients that I'm working with and what's going to help them. So I'm very much about, you know, I kind of see it as I have a pick and mix of theory and experience and techniques and all of these kind of things, and it's about what's going to help you most. One thing that I think is really important, and again, it's very grounded in research, is about gratitude and showing gratitude. And so one way that that's been shown in a few studies is by writing down even just 5 things a week that you're grateful for or proud of, actually can improve your happiness by about 25% in one research study over a 10-week period. So, you know, whether it's 5 things a week, or I try and challenge my clients sometimes 3 things a day in the evening, and then the next morning, first thing, look back at what you wrote yesterday, read them, and be like, right, I had, you know, these 3 amazing things, big or small. You know, it can be, I made myself coffee, or made myself a lovely lunch, or, you know, saved the world, whatever degree you want to go with. And kind of it helps set you up for yesterday was positive, had ups and downs, but I was grateful for this, this, and this. Today, I'm going to do the same, face it, and then at the end of the day, take that little moment, just 5 minutes, and write some things down and challenge yourself. Do it for a minimum of 2-3 weeks. See how you feel. See how it connects.
Good advice. Good advice. So you have a lot of meetings with corporates and brands to help their staff become more confident. Waitrose and Depop, they've been some of the people you've helped influence their decision-making, really. How does that work then?
Well, so the work I did with Depop, for example, was speed coaching. So I went in for 3 days and saw 8 employees each day for a one-off 45-minute coaching session. And that was, honestly, that was probably some of the most fun I've ever had. Because I met these people, never seen them before. They'd come in, I'd have 45 minutes to explain firstly what coaching was, explain how the session went, and they could bring anything work-related, personal. It was, you know, Depop were amazing at saying they have free rein, and it's all confidential. So, you know, it was just that moment for the employee to have their time. And just the amount of change that some people made in that 45 minutes and the amount of openness they showed was incredible. And I loved it. It was really some of the best work I've done, actually.
Brilliant. So it's helping people and just giving them someone that listens to them, isn't it? And someone that's qualified to help them, you know, out of whatever it is that they're going through. Amazing. So you've taught yourself to be more confident and resilient and overcome adversity. Now, how have you used these skills in your own life? Because you've had a traumatic personal experience that you fought back from, and you want to encourage others to do the same. I don't know if you want to share any of your story to that you feel comfortable with sharing.
Yes, yeah, I think it's really important, and I think I'm in a place where I do want to be more open about these things, because I think it's time to open up the conversation more. So to kind of give you a brief overview of my story in that way. So when I was around 19, I was raped. And if it's okay, I will use sexually assaulted from now on, just because that word is still a bit triggering for me. But I went into complete denial, which is fascinating in its own way, for about 6 months after that, when I wouldn't have known it happened at all. And then started university, and kind of something twigged then when I kind of realized that this had happened, but I didn't really know how to deal with it at the time. And I had some initial free counseling at uni, but that didn't really do anything. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, I've sort of dealt with it. But what I hadn't realized is actually what I'd then gone into from denial was repression, which is the phase I was in for the next 7 years, actually, which was kind of just pressing everything down. And I guess the way that the kind of the analogy that I would use is probably like a Hoover. So where it would kind of suck up everything that was related to that and painful and press it down. But then over the years, it kind of couldn't then distinguish between what was painful related to that and what was just made me sad and then just made me feel anything. So it was kind of hoovering up everything without me even consciously being able to stop it or realize, and just pressed it all down. In the meantime, I'd also got into a relationship that I was in for 6 years. And it was actually the, you know, I'm very, very grateful to my ex, because it was actually us breaking up. And that kind of shock around that at the end of 2016, beginning of 2017, that finally made me come to terms with everything. Because I'd kind of built a glass jar around the attack and the assault and all of that. And I'd spent so much energy maintaining that the shock of my relationship coming to an end broke it open. And that's when I kind of had to face everything. So 2017 is sort of the best and worst year of my life, where I was dealing with the end of the relationship, and then PTSD. Then I got made redundant as well. But like all of those were actually really good things, because my life has just done a complete 180 for the better, because I finally actually faced things and told my dad, who is one of my biggest cheerleaders in my life. And he supported me to get cognitive behavioral therapy, and he'd come up to London after some sessions and take me out for a coffee and, you know, help me talk things through and everything. And it was just finally taking that step that's changed everything in my life.
Well, that's very brave of you to share that. And, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, that was obviously very painful for you and will be for others to hear that. But the positivity that then came through of what you've changed and what you've learned and how lovely your family were to support and give you the encouragement you needed, that's just fabulous.
Yeah, they honestly, I have the most incredible family. And I think for me, it was really being able to, because I told my mum and sister when I was still in the repression phase, but hadn't really gone into it or, you know, been able to deal with it. But I'd never told my dad, because in a way I had always wanted to protect him, you know, and I didn't want him to feel that he had to tear the world apart to, you know, seek revenge or anything like that, which he didn't react at all that way, which, because he's a wonderful man. So actually the telling him was more like being able to finally tell myself, because we're so, you know, we're such close family. So that was the massive thing. And we just cried together, and just all he said was he absolutely loved me, and he'd support me in any way, shape or form that he could, him and mum would. So yeah, that was a massive moment for me.
Well, I can't believe that you've had all that to deal with, but it's incredible how strong you are. It really is. I mean, how did post-traumatic stress affect you for other people that may be wondering whether they're going through something like that? I mean, was it flashbacks or sleepless nights or needing medication or just coming the awareness of knowing that you had to step back from this trauma?
I think for me and the PTSD, I think for a long while it affected me by me not realizing it was there. And that's in the repression phase of those 7 years of not being able to really feel that anything was wrong, or even if I knew I wasn't happy or that something wasn't right, I couldn't kind of face it and see it clearly. And so when I finally broke everything open and started to see my therapist, it was actually kind of a relief to have that. I've never been on medication, and medication isn't for me. If it is for other people and it works for them, then absolutely fantastic. But for me, I never wanted to really go down that. And yeah, so I think it was really important to kind of have that and actually tackle they're called negative automatic thinking patterns. So it's about tuning into that inner critic that we've touched on, and really challenging and reworking that. And that was the biggest piece of work I've done on myself and still do, and, you know, will always have to do. But it was really about tuning in to how much the trauma and then kind of subsequent relationships and those kind of things had created these very quick negative thinking patterns that were ruling the way I saw myself and kind of my life choices at that point.
Well, you've been incredibly brave, and how you're helping others now and using that to your advantage is really, you should be proud and of yourself. Now, what would you say to others facing things that they're battling of that sort of scale to overcome, and traumas that they really find it difficult to get back from? Who do they go to? Or do they go to a doctor, or how do they find this CBT? And That means cognitive behavioral therapy, is that right? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So I think the first and foremost is open up to those who you love and trust. And what I really believe in is do be directive about the help that you need from them, because when someone's in front of you and they're going through something massive, you can feel like you really want to help them because you love them, but you just don't know how. Or you can say something that isn't very helpful, even though it comes from the best intentions. So if, as the person going through something, if you can say, I'm going to tell you this, and I don't need you to fix it for me. You're just being here, physically being here is all I need. Then that kind of takes that weight off. Yes. And kind of diffuses that, so you can be honest and have that conversation. So that'll be the first thing. I really do recommend if you're dealing with something traumatic and that kind of thing, then therapy, for me, I've found really helpful, but do look into the different types of therapy that there are, and don't be afraid to change therapist. You know, therapists are like coaches, like whatever, it's got to have the right chemistry, and you've got to be able to feel safe, to feel that you have trust. Because the therapist that I had in 2017, it was just an instant connection, and that's why I could, I guess, deal with all of these things and work through these things in a relatively short space of time for something so big. So really don't be afraid to kind of test the waters and change therapists, get the right connection for you. And thirdly is take care of yourself. So the basics are eat, nutrition, and exercise, and they are the absolute basics that you need to be taking care of. So make sure you're actually feeding your body in the right way for you. Do exercise. There's tons of research around how exercise helps reduce anxiety and depression, increase self-esteem, increase quality of life, and sleep. I know sleep can be difficult, especially when you're dealing with trauma and flashbacks. So one thing that I use personally is the paradoxical sleep technique, which is basically I put on an audiobook. It's also a great way to do lots of reading. So you put on an audiobook, and apps like Audible have sleep timers as well, which is really useful. And when you're lying in bed, you close your eyes and you listen to the audiobook, and you concentrate on listening to the book. So put on something you're interested in, put on something that's
like a podcast.
Exactly, like a wonderful podcast. And concentrate on it. And the paradoxical sleep technique is actually by trying to concentrate on staying awake and by listening to something, but with your eyes closed, you actually end up falling asleep. And it also can stop that, you know, the mind tends to be at its cruelest when we're tired and when we're suddenly in bed. So it can just help switch that off, like with breathing. Just focusing on something else that's kind of outside your body.
Trick the brain. So who have you met that was influential, and how have they inspired you?
So I mean, it might sound a bit cheesy, but genuinely my biggest inspiration is probably my mum and dad. So individually, they've both had insanely successful careers in medicine. My dad has written many books around managing your mind. So we have a lot of geek outs around psychology and medical ethics and all these kind of things. And my mum, she was a GP before she retired. And so, you know, has actually had a career dealing with real life and death, and being able to do that always with heart first. So individually, successfully, they're incredible, but they've always, which I would love to emulate when I have a family, but they've always, no matter what was going on with work, put family first and each other first. So they've just celebrated their 39th wedding anniversary, and you know, growing up, even though I've had two highly successful parents, I've never felt like they weren't there. So they, yeah, they really have got that work balance, life, all of this stuff. And I just need to emulate it somehow.
Oh, wow. They'll love to hear that. They'll be so proud. And what great values and, you know, to put family first, and what talent, and brilliant to have all that mind conversation. I want to come for Christmas around there.
Oh, definitely. Well, that's the thing is, you know, it's kind of that thing of you work efficiently. And I think efficiently is really the word, because in the corporate world, it can become kind of a badge of honor of, oh, I've worked, you know, 15 hours today. I'm so busy and stressed. And it's like, well, it's not efficient, and it's really not good. I mean, stress and cortisol is literally toxic to your brain cells. And so, yeah, it's that efficient working of give unto Caesar what Caesar is owed is something that my dad has always said. And it's kind of, you give that your all for what it deserves, but, you know, you're not losing sight of your priorities, of your values, of time, because time is finite.
Wow. Gosh, brilliant quotes. We need him on the show. Now, are there any courses you'd recommend or websites? You've got the Academy of Executive Coaching, the Accredited Associate Executive Coaching, and you're also studying a master's in psychology and neuroscience and mental health. My goodness, what a talented lady you are. Is that right? How's that going?
Yes, yeah. It's, gosh, I grew up in a very academic family, but I always railed against it at school, and, you know, kind of, I didn't want to go to university, but then after working over the Christmas period in a shop after I finished, I was like, right, yep, I'm going to university, because I can't deal with people trying to get like 10% discount and elbow me out the way anymore. So went to uni, but yeah, since then I've kind of somehow got into my academic stride and found what I love. So I'm a Myers-Briggs practitioner. And then when I completed that, I did my diploma in executive coaching, and then completed that. And now doing a master's in psychology and neuroscience of mental health, which is so fascinating.
Amazing, amazing. And you've done mindfulness and meditation as well, haven't you? Amongst all of that. And I don't know when you fitted in all this time with your young years as well. Amazing.
Oh, it's a lot, but I'm a true believer in, you know, the question of, if you won the lottery or if money wasn't an issue, what would you be doing? And that's a question I ask my clients. Yeah. And my answer is I'd be doing exactly what I'm doing now, which is coaching and doing my master's. And no doubt when I finish my master's at the end of next year, I'm sure I'll find some new qualification to start journeying
something on. Else. And never stop learning. Well, in fact, they do say, don't they, when if people do win the lottery, that a lot of them carry on working because they want to feel grounded and normal and just to be who they were, you know, their identity.
Exactly. And actually one of the things, so there are several elements that help you with kind of positive mental well-being. And apart from the exercise and nutrition and sleep that I've mentioned, it's really about, we need that connection to something bigger and a connection to a community. So that's why I say, you know, whether always try and open up if you're going through something, whether it's to your actual family or whether it's to friends, colleagues, something, we need that community. We need to kind of find our tribe that we connect with, as well as then having a higher purpose. So, you know, whether it's working in what you do or doing something, we always need that. And money really is just a resource at the end of the day. So when you take that out, you still need all of those things.
Interesting, interesting. Lovely. I love all this. Love mind and well-being and positivity, and hopefully everyone else out there does with self-development. So the game changer, proudest moment of your career. Sounds like there's been loads of them, but any particular?
Yes, I mean, there's, you know, so many. I mean, one of my first was actually back at university, my dissertation. I think I came top in my year, and for what I did. And that was a massively proud moment, because I'd always kind of told myself that I wasn't the academic one of the family. So that was that, and things like that.
I think I came top.
I won a prize. I think it went top. Jesus, can't remember.
Fantastic. Now, passion-wise, how do you occupy your time when you're not working? You do some bizarre cycle with a PSY that I have never heard of. What's that about? Mental exercise on a bicycle.
Oh, basically. So Cycle is a kind of fitness brand in London that does spin classes, it does bar classes, yoga, all of that. And I've become completely addicted to that side, because actually, so the fitness side of life has been hugely linked to the PTSD journey, because obviously with what I went through in the assault, is I hated my body, but I couldn't quite understand why for a very long time, and so would punish it either through kind of binging or then cutting calories or seeing exercise and food as punishment. And it wasn't until I started facing all of that, the one small thing that I focused on was food and exercise. So it was every day making sure I was eating healthy, nutritious meals, and doing, I just started with just 10 minutes of exercise, you know, from YouTube and those kind of things a day. And you know, I started to do that and feed that positivity, and then started challenging myself and actually realizing that I enjoyed exercise, because, you know, I was always, oh, I'll never understand those people that like going to the gym or anything, you know, that's never going to be me, I'm not a fit girl or anything. And yeah, so then as I started going, I think at the end of 2018, I'd stepped up and went to try Cycle for a class, and then absolutely loved it. So yeah, over the last 2.5 years, I guess I've really improved my fitness, and now I love it, absolutely love it.
Gosh, so you've completely changed. But it's physical and mental health together, isn't it? It is true. I know myself, you know, even if I go for a swim, and I'm in a grumpy mood, after about 20 minutes, you know, the cortisol, adrenaline burns off like puppies and teenage boys, that you just suddenly can't remember what you were bothered about.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's, as I said, it's, there are so many research studies that show how exercise increases your self-esteem, increases your quality of life and mood, and helps to decrease symptoms of anxiety and depression in these certain ways. And it's also about taking that moment to celebrate your body and actually achieve something. You know, I noticed I can hold a plank now stronger, and I feel better in it than I did, you know, 3 months ago. And so it's kind of noticing those little achievements and those little triumphs, and actually just having a bit of fun, you know. Do exercise that you enjoy. Don't do it because you feel you should. Don't do it, or don't do something that you find boring. Go try lots of different classes, try lots of different types of stuff, because there's so much variety now. And do something you enjoy. You should enjoy, you know, you're allowed to have fun.
Find your happy, isn't it? So do you have a mantra?
Yes, this comes from my dad, which is trust the process. And this is something that he has been saying to me and my sister, God, since I can remember. And it was always something at school that I was like, oh, Dad, like, oh, stop saying that to me, because whenever I'd do something, he'd be like, trust the process. And I'd be like, oh, it's so useless. But now at 28 and coming through everything, it really has become my mantra, is trust the process and also enjoy the process, because we get very fixated on goals and why aren't we there yet? Or, you know, as soon as I get one more client, as soon as I get one more promotion, as soon as I lose one more pound or gain one more pound or whatever, then I'll be happy. And if you have that mentality, you're never going to get there, because it's never as soon as. Have your goal, know what you're striving for, but actually enjoy getting there and notice the achievements along the way. That is the key to authentic confidence and authentic happiness.
I like that. And it's sort of enjoy the journey, isn't it? There's another one that's similar to that journey about being the destination. It's not about getting to the destination. It's enjoying the journey, isn't it? But I like that. Trust the process, because there's always a reason why something's happened. And the process of working out why to get there is the whole point, isn't it? The learning. Yeah, he's very wise, that man. So he's obviously been the greatest influence in your life. What's your next plan or goal then? My goodness, to get that master's.
Yes. So I've got another year on my master's as well. And then just still building my business and talking more to clients, which is always fun, doing more of these kind of things. I absolutely love this and kind of opening up the conversation around what you do either after assault or after something that maybe wasn't very positive and building, really getting that message across that you deserve a happy life of fulfillment and love and balance. But you need to be the change and you need to start that. If it's your life, own it, to take that responsibility and create that for yourself. But have help. Help is always a good thing, and hope, naturally.
And what a name for that. I mean, that's brilliant that name just goes perfectly with what you do and what your father does. That sometimes happens, doesn't it? It's just you're giving hope to people. You literally are.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was actually oddly surprisingly difficult to come up with a company name with hope in it that didn't sound very, very religious. So it was a process to get the right name, but yep, hope. Luckily I have been born with the great perfect surname, so I'm very happy.
And authentic. So tips for being more confident, top three.
So firstly, start to tune in to what you're telling yourself in your head and challenge it. It's all about making the destructive constructive. Secondly, if you need a little quick tip and a quick boost, a power pose, like Wonder Woman, feet firmly on the ground, arms on your hips, chest out, shoulders down, stand in that pose for around 2 minutes, and it gives you a quick boost of testosterone, which is just a very short-lived but can just give you that extra oomph if you're about to do a presentation or something like that. And really be a bit more mindful. Take those breaths, notice all the good things and the compliments that you're getting. Don't brush them off. Actually take a little moment and pause and notice and be grateful.
I like that. I feel empowered. So how would we influence men and women out there? I mean, you've given that. Anything else to tell people out there?
I think the first thing, the main thing really is, it's be a bit kinder to yourself and really notice how you talk about yourself and how you talk to yourself. Because I think you might find that the way you talk about yourself in your head, you wouldn't speak about your worst enemy the way that sometimes we think about ourselves and we speak about ourselves. So, just be a little kinder, build up yourself. And if we do that, then we can really help others and kind of spread that positivity like the sun. The sun is kind of my big analogy, and actually my coaching model is the sun, and it's about radiating, building up that core of sunshine, of warmth, of fire. That can be a little feisty, but self-contained warmth and love and radiate that out. So be your authentic self. It's awesome.
Thank you so much. That's fabulous. So as the other saying goes, yesterday's history, tomorrow is a mystery, and let's enjoy today, which is a present. This Influential Women's Podcast is presented and co-produced by Nikki Bannerman with award-winning co-producer Juliet Nichols. Please keep listening for more podcasts to binge, listen to and rate and review us, and keep subscribing for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and iTunes, and join our tribe. Please share with everyone you know, as word of mouth is so important to us growing. And if you have any ideas, comments, or want to advertise or sponsor us in our programme, or even ask us about a subject you want to hear about, or a guest you want to suggest that you're burning to hear, please reach out and contact www.nikkibannermanradio.co.uk or through Pineapple Audio Production.